It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Anthony Moyles is now with us. Anthony, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Owen. And yourself?
Yeah, good. There seems to be two schools of thought at the moment. There seems to be, oh great, the Dubs are in third gear, we all have an opportunity. And then the other school of thought is, oh God, the Dubs are only in third gear.
Yeah. it is. I suppose it's two sides of a coin. And I don't know. I think they're probably, I'm sure Desi Farrell and his management team, and I'm sure some of the players are asking themselves as well, you know, where are we? Because there's most definitely, I think, a few worries, I think, in some of their performances. You know, I think when they look back, they'll kind of say to themselves, wow, are we really, you know, a little bit undercooked? Or are we just, is there something missing? Or are we just missing a few players that need to come back? Or is it that actually the opposition are actually closing the gap and, you know, they're just improving, you know, because I think everyone has a tendency to look at the opposition when Dublin are playing. Like, I mean, even, you know, watching the game on the weekend with Kildare, there was so much analysis of how Kildare are playing. And I suppose that's just boredom with how well Dublin have been playing over the last number of years. But I think the actual, this is the first season for a long time where people are actually analysing now how Dublin are playing and really looking at, and that's a sign in itself that I think people are saying to themselves that, oh, actually maybe this Dublin team isn't quite hitting the levels that it was hitting over the last number of years.
And I think one of those levels is the ridiculous impact that they were getting off the bench. Like, no question that they've had the best collection of footballers we've ever seen, all the way down to number 26. And maybe that's not there at the moment. However, it's trending in the right direction for them on that front. And even just seeing someone like Owen Merchant on the bench and John Small obviously starting the other day, what that does for their options going forward is huge, Anthony, because that, I guess, activates a more advanced position for someone like Brian Howard. And starting 15-wise anyway, they're going to still be arguably the best team in the country.
Yeah, well, we spoke about this the last day, Owen, and you have a situation, obviously, where Small has come back in. You know, okay, he got a bit of a head knock and he didn't come back out, but that was no surprise. He had done enough at that stage. It was really all about testing the hamstring and seeing could he kind of stay at the pace of the game, which he did for, whatever, 50-odd minutes. So he's a big plus for them. Merchant coming on and adding that lightning pace, he's another big plus for them. The two of them will be obviously pushing hard for starting positions the next day, which, as you say, frees things up. Like against Meath, they didn't have their half-back line, which I think would be their preferred half-back line, which would be Robbie McDade, you know, Small and Merchant. So there's three players that you have to fill the gap. And just like Tyrone, obviously, at the weekend, when you lose an amount of defenders, you're having to pull fellas in from all over the place. Now, Howard is a good deputy, but, you know, he'd rather be in that half-forward line causing havoc. And, of course, what it does is it causes a situation, I think, where you're, as you say, you're coming into your second layer or even your third layer of players that would potentially look to come on. And it weakens any team. And I think it weakens Dublin. And then when you get a couple of fellas who are underperforming actually on the pitch, well, now you're really delving into your kind of reserves. And, you know, looking back at the game against Kildare, I just felt there was a period in that second half that if Kildare believed a bit more and had set themselves up a bit better, I think they really could have had a right good cut at Dublin because they were losing their way at around that 50-odd minute mark. And they were doing some very, very uncharacteristically non-Dublin things with the ball. Kildare didn't, and they ran out convincing winners. But I think there was a spell there that certainly Mayo will look at and say, right, you know, if we see this again, we're certainly going to go for the jugular.
Is that something for Kildare to be disappointed about, Anthony? Because, like, as you said, they kind of left a bit out there, and a lot was spoken about Kevin Feely's absence from midfield before the game with that knee injury. And I saw you tweeting yourself about Daniel Flynn. And look, Daniel Flynn's an extraordinarily talented forward, but as you said, can often play in spurts for Kildare. So there are a couple of worries there for them as well.
Well, I think Kildare, you know, Kildare, I read a great piece at the weekend in the Sunday Times with, you know, Johnny Doyle was mentioned in it. And it was basically just about the Kildare success that has been there over the last kind of 7-8 years underage. And Kildare have produced some massive teams at minor level and under 20 level. Now, they've got a good cohort of those players on the panel the senior panel. But, you know, it's probably a situation like some of the other counties where there's just, you know, it's not producing as many players as it possibly should do. Now, if you look at what happened on Sunday specifically with them, I felt that they set up, you know, to kind of allow themselves to still be in the game. Mm. You know, they conceded the kick out, you know, and I think if Jack O'Connor was to be very honest with himself and the management team, they should have known, and like being from previous situations, especially when Meath have been in Leinster finals against them, like you just can't do that. You have to be brave. You have to go at Dublin. You have to take a chance on their kick out. And, you know, they probably should have looked at the second half for Meath v Dublin and probably shown the level of intensity and the pressure that Meath tried to apply on Dublin and the problems that that caused. And they probably should have said to themselves, listen, lads, we're going to go at this for as much as we can. Okay, they could have allowed to leave the two up top, you know, for a spell of time. And with Flynn up top, you could always just take a risk of dropping men back and allowing the ball to go in early. But once Dublin got a handle on that and dropped Johnny Cooper back in, they should have decided themselves, okay, we're going to start running the ball a bit more and start popping passes in. But you saw a spell there. I saw fellas bemoaning the fact. I think they kicked five or six bad wides in a row. But if you look at all of the shots that they took them from long distance. They weren't taking easy pot shots in around the arc. You know, they were taking kind of speculative shots. And that's because there was no one really inside. They didn't have the options inside. So it's you know, it's something, Shane, I think when they look back on it, they'll say to themselves, you know, that was a chance, an opportunity missed. Because as I said, our post the Meath game, I don't think the Dublin team, even though they had John Small back, this Dublin team are not hitting the levels that they were hitting last year, the year before. And I think if both Meath believed a bit more, and I think if Kildare believed a bit more, you know, I think they could have ran them, you know, even closer than they did.
Like one thing that stood out for me that was different about this Dublin team than, say, the Dublin teams of Jim Gavin and, as Owen said earlier, like 2017, it sort of teams, the uncharacteristic wild shooting. Like Jim Gavin had it down to a T, and we never really saw Dublin shooting from outside the, you know, the high percentage scoring zone, I guess. At the weekend, we saw quite a bit of that, and very, very uncharacteristic of the Dubs to do that. Like, is that something that Mayo will be looking at and licking their lips over, that Dublin all of a sudden are kind of shooting from places where they perhaps should not be shooting from?
Well, you know, like, I mean, it depends again, Shane, in the sense of, on one side, you could say, well, Jim Gavin's kind of rhetoric was very, very restrictive on the players. You know, it was certain people shoot and certain people shoot from only this specific area. Like, I mean, my abiding memory is Jack McCaffrey making one of those lung busting runs from, they say, his own full back line, and he's ran like an absolute hare, and he scorches everybody, and he gets within about 10 yards of the goal, and you're thinking, stick it over the bar, put it in the back of the net, fist it over the bar, and he'd end up hand passing it to, say, you know, Dean Rock, who'd just stick it over the bar for him. And you're kind of going, like, Jesus, you know, like, I mean, the discipline it takes to actually do that. And I remember that one occasion seeing him doing it, and he kicked, I think, with his left or right foot, and he kicked it into the goalkeeper's hands. And I remember him putting his head in his hands and thinking, you know, that'll be reviewed in the video session when I'm finished next week. So you could, you know, sometimes that's a good thing to have that restriction on players, but also sometimes it's a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing to actually allow players to have the confidence to have a go. Like, I mean, you know, Howard came up on Sunday, I don't know if you remember this one, and he kicked one with the outside of his right boot. Now, it went wide. If it goes over, it's an inspirational score, you know, and everyone says, oh, he has that in his armory, he's such a good player. Goes wide, and everyone's saying, like, what was he doing? Like, I mean, you don't usually do that. So it's a fine line, really, between allowing players to have the confidence and to believe in their own ability. And I'd say that is where there's a difference between Desi Farrell and his management team. You know, I played under Mick Galvin in St. Oliver Plunkett's, and Mick would be a type of a fella that would always say to people, listen, back yourself, have a go. You know, like, I mean, don't be afraid of taking a shot. Now, obviously, you have to have, like, I mean, certain guys on the ball. But I think that is probably a slight difference. Now, whether that's a chink that ultimately, when it comes down to a 1 or a 2 point game, that they will see and the opposition will see as, okay, here is an opportunity for us, that's yet to be seen. I know Dublin would have looked at the past, you know, kind of in certain Dublin teams that I played with, or played against, should I say, and certainly people would have said, oh, the percentage rates were down in the 60s or the 70s or whatever it was of shots taken, and that there was a lot of lads taking shots from all angles. And that is one area that probably Jim Gavin really focused on. Now, whether there is a slight change and whether that allows an opportunity for the opposition, I just don't know yet. But I think shot selection is part of it, but it wouldn't be my main worry if I was on the Dublin management team. My main worry would be probably as well how some of the players are actually playing. And also, I think there's a bit of a lack of movement in that full forward line. I think there's a spell there against Kildare, I don't know if you remember it, probably about the 50th to the 60th minute, 50, 55 minutes, where Dublin were really all over the place. And they were just very, very stagnant. There was a lot of frantic stuff going out around midfield, but the inside of the full forward line were just basically holding their positions. Dean Rock was way out, you know, underneath the kind of Cusick stand, wasn't really looking to get involved. Costello wasn't moving. Con O'Callaghan was very, very quiet. And Kilkenny was really the only one who was kind of buzzing around. And Kildare were very comfortable. And Kildare probably should have tried to turn them over. And they did a couple of times, but they just didn't convert into scores. That would be a worry for them again, playing against the likes of Mayo.
Shane, in our YouTube comments, has been in touch. He said, "Ah, lads, can OTB stop this with the Meath performance versus Dublin? Wow, 20 good minutes against a team in second gear. It's getting annoying at this stage." But is the point not that they only played well for 20 minutes? Because there, as you say, chickened out of pressing up in the kick-out, and they still got within single digits of a team going for a seven in a row. Is that not the very point here?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is the point. You know, exactly. Like, I mean, you know, Mayo will not play for 20 minutes. You know,
exactly.
Mayo will come with everything they have. Like, I think it's probably fair to say there's a hatred between Mayo and Dublin. Like, these guys do not like each other. These guys have played against each other the last number of years. And I think Dublin it'll probably give Dublin a kick. I think of all the other three, this is a game that Dublin really need, because they need a good, tough, hard game against a rival that they see as, we want to keep the foot literally pinned on top of their head. Mayo will see this. Horan will see this as an enormous opportunity to get one over them, and an enormous opportunity to obviously get into the All-Ireland final. So this, like, you know, we're trying to analyse Dublin in the sense of the high levels that they've been at, the fact that they've been beaten, you know, Leinster teams by 15-plus points, and now the fact that actually, you know, that is now coming into the single digits. You know, whether it's low single digits or high single digits, it doesn't matter. There still means that there's a convergence. Now, is it, as I said, that the other teams are getting better, or is it that the Dublin's coming back a bit? I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
But regardless of what you're doing in Leinster, like, I mean, this is where you start to get paid. This is the big money games. And when you commit against Mayo, who had that second half, and imagine how they feel after that second half, totally underperformed first half, lack of intensity, lack of drive, lack of desire. Second half, absolutely, completely changed, you know, and just blew Galway out of the water. They're full of pomp, and they will have an X on Dublin's back, and they will have seen enough evidence over the last number of weeks to think, yeah, this is an opportunity for us. This is not the same Dublin team of the last number of years, and we can take them.
Anthony, just to touch on the Ulster final on Saturday afternoon as well. And look, I was watching the Sunday game on Sunday, and they were kind of talking about Monaghan maybe giving Tyrone too much respect in the first half. Look, as a Monaghan person, I'm going to find it very hard to criticise the teams after the couple of weeks that have happened. And look, I was at the under-20 game on Friday night in Armagh, and the senior game as well on Saturday. And there has obviously been that dark cloud of Ogie Duffy's passing over Monaghan football recently. So it's hard to kind of look at it from just a footballing perspective, given what's happened over the last couple of weeks. But if you were to say one thing about Saturday and about the last number of weeks in Ulster, it's fair to say the Ulster Football Championship is alive and well.
Well, you know, two things on that, obviously, Shane. Like, I mean, yes, absolutely, it is hard to look beyond, you know, just football, but I suppose that's what we'll try to do here. You know, it's been a shocking couple of weeks, very, very difficult for everyone involved, absolutely. And very difficult to ask teams to go out and play, especially the first game against Armagh, you know, in such a short space of time, and obviously the situation and the feelings in the gales of Monaghan. I thought there were Did they show a lack of? Did they give them too much respect? I don't think so. I think they stood off a bit. I don't think they were aggressive enough. In the first half, they allowed Tyrone have the ball and play it around in certain points, out around the certainly the middle kind of third of the Croke Park. They didn't push up. They weren't enough in their face. And they changed that second half. And a massive change for them in the second half was Began coming out and filling that area out to Morgan's left-hand side with his kickouts. Began is a big, big man. He's 6'3", 6'4". Obviously, the colour of the jersey, because he's wearing the goalkeeper's jersey. If you look up as a goalkeeper and you're trying to scan the pitch, and all of a sudden you see this big, big, massive man wearing a different colour jersey to everyone else, your eyes are attracted to it. And all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, well, I can't kick over there. That's a no-no. And the fact is that, listen, we've spoken about it loads of time. Began is so adept on the ball. He's not like your traditional keeper where he's just going to get it and hand pass it off. He can come, he can spray a pass, which he did on Sunday. He's very confident even coming into a tackle with a player. So, if you kick to him, he's going to catch it and he's going to punish you. So essentially now a third of your field is now gone. So you're now looking down the middle or you're looking out to your right. And that pressure that they applied was unbelievable. And it really put Tyrone under an enormous amount of pressure. Tyrone didn't know where to go. Tyrone were fumbling the ball. They were running into tackles. They actually got really, really out of sorts. Tyrone would usually kill the game at that stage if there were 4 or 5 points up, tried to suck the life out of it. But instead, they got into, we've been talking a lot about boxing this morning, but they got into basically just a fight where they were just slugging with Monaghan, giving the ball away, getting it back, giving the ball away. And Monaghan did really, really well. They'd be sick that they had a couple of chances in those last few minutes. Just the wrong fellas got the ball, took pot shots. They had two or three chances when they were a point behind to level it. I think it was McKenna who got the ball, tried very young Tyrone thing, tried to kind of hook this ball out over the top of a Monaghan player. They got one more opportunity. They lost it down on the Cusick stand side and they never got the ball back then. But they can be massively proud, Shane, of what they've done. Some people were on to me saying I didn't give them enough credit after the Armagh game. And I thought Armagh, to be honest with you, really would kick themselves after that game. And it wouldn't have surprised me if Monaghan had lost. I think a lot of people would have said, well, how could they have won that game considering the events leading up to it? I thought they were unbelievable. And resilience is thrown around, and it's been thrown around a lot about certain things. But the resilience of those players and the resilience of everyone involved has been unbelievable in the last couple of weeks. And fair play to them. They've got a serious team and they'll come back. I think Tyrone missing those few players really took a toll on them. And whereas it took a toll, it didn't necessarily take a toll on the starting 15, but going back to Owen's point about the bench, it took a toll of what they could bring in. If you again look at what they did for Donegal, they brought fellas in from the bench who not only kind of just kept the level going, but they raised the bar. And I think they got something like 1-2 or 1-3 off the bench that day. And really, with those guys missing from the start, that element of bringing on some fellas who can really up the ante and who can change the game for you and give you a different kind of tactical view, that was lost. So I think Tyrone will be better for it. Are they good enough to beat Kerry? I don't think so.
Right, we will get your thoughts on all of that before the semi-finals roll around, though. But great stuff this morning, Anthony.
Cheers, lads.
Anthony Moyles there, former Meath captain, on the line with us reacting to the Leinster football final and the Ulster football final.
It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.